turn on. You're listening to the radio program about Hacker Spaces. This here little radio program about Hacker Spaces.
Good evening and welcome at WS Politics at Signal at Hackerspaces. My name is Walter and we're doing a one-off program with some music and some discussions on hacktivism as a precursor to a future program on Signal at Hackerspaces.org, which will be a semi-permanent panel on hacktivism and politics and freedom of expression, freedom on the internet, etc. But first, some music.
Aquí al con 10. Es para que le notifiquen a mi Cóndor 4 que las unidades enviadas resultan insuficientes, debido a que aquí el personal presenta resistencia.
C'est clair, simple et net. Il n'y aura pas de privatisation d'EDF et Gaz de France. C'est clair, c'est simple et c'est net.
gaz de France, et fusion paritaire de Suez et de gaz de France.
Une formidable entreprise de privatisation de tous les services. If you try this, OAC sound will take you for a talk. A little sound boy like you could never play with. But tonight, OAC sound gonna send you to the cemetery. The cemetery, go on to your nana. Your nana, go on to your nana. Your nana, you're too young to be the sound. You're too young, you're too the sound.
Yeah, but you want to know. All right, since I'm a perfect straight wall, run down me so much.
Welcome back. You're first listening to La Ola Express with the song Panic from their album Panic, followed by Jubilmix with the song Acting Dub from its album Mix It Up. We also have a studio guest through Skype, so the sound quality may vary from time to time. That's Brenno. Brenno, welcome to the show.
Hey, good evening.
Good evening to you too. We have a few nice news items to be discussed. And let's kick off with some bad news from France. The ADOP, the new governmental body which is going to regulate the internet in France, or actually is regulating it, apparently has made a document which was treated as confidential because it was a preparatory one, at least it was the pretext. And it has now leaked out, and apparently they intend to introduce regulations that would make spyware mandatory in order to monitor internet users to prevent them from the ever awful file sharing stuff.
Yeah, an amazing story and quite unbelievable that it even makes ground in Europe, considering that we've got human rights, we've got the right to receive opinions, and we have the right to gather news. Amazingly, that it even makes into the heads of government employees, and then apparently they haven't heard about computers that function as routers, etc. So it's stupid, it's unlawful, and it's typically French.
That's not nice to say about the southern neighbors. Well, not really neighbors. We have Belgium in between. We'd like to keep it that way.
Well, but
the real fun part would be that you would
have log files in both clear text and encrypted, and in case of a complaint being made against your IP address, you should provide the encrypted log file. It should be kept for a year. And I'm also slightly wondering whether they have taken into account that not everyone is using the same operating system.
Well, and that's first of it. And then do they really believe that the spyware won't be cracked itself and that it really would store all the evidence? And then is it really fair to expect people to gather evidence against themselves and then hand it over? There are some issues with due process there, I'd say. So it's remarkable.
Yeah, it's interesting. Although I wouldn't count too much on the European Treaty for Human Rights in this case, because it would be by law, apparently. On the other hand, the French have reasonably strong constitutional safeguards against stuff like this. But on the other hand, on the bright side, look at it. 2011 may finally be the year of the desktop of Linux on the desktop in France.
That's a very, very positive outlook, you know. And but there is more positive, because it would be kind of interesting to gather that much data and process it all and not make any mistakes. So it's amazing on several grounds. By the way, I would call this ECTA Deluxe.
Well, ECTA Royale. And now some music. Yeah. Okay, you were listening to Aeroporto from the La Ola Express from their album Panic. And, well, back to our discussion on some relevant news from the internets, as it may be called. We're just rehashing some stuff from the EDRI newsletter. You should subscribe to it. It's you can find it at edri.org. And another piece of news, not from that site, is that apparently the case of Marc Dutroux, world-famous child rapist from Belgium, And his file is from the Department of Justice has been leaked upon on WikiLeaks. Breno.
Yeah, but not only that, it has been there for more than a year. And all of a sudden people start bitching about it and basically bring it to everybody's attention. Amazingly, I never realized it was there and never bothered to have a look at it. But thanks to the Justice Department in Belgium, I did have a sneak peek at his criminal file. And it's pretty interesting that it's out there.
Yeah, but I find this very interesting because it kind of touches a nerve here. How far should publishing stuff on WikiLeaks go? I'm a bit on the edge on the fence of this. I'm not quite sure whether having criminal files of such extreme cases are a good thing to have pushed around on the internet.
Well, perhaps not, but there was a lot of information in the file that was not known yet and was always a secret, like for instance, were there more children involved or not? Basically, where did the girls die ultimately? And the Belgium Justice Department was of course part of public scrutiny as well and were kind of secretive about it. So, you know, it's not just a general case. It's a very specific case with very important specifics.
Yes, but shouldn't WikiLeaks perform some editorial role here and only put the stuff in there which is interest from the viewpoint of putting the Belgian Department of Justice and scrutiny in there, instead of just all those personal details of the victims and people?
Depends on the role that you give to WikiLeaks. You know, if they are just a site where they pass on information, and they shouldn't be touching the files at all. If you want them to do editing or censoring documents, then basically their role changes. And now the interesting thing with WikiLeaks, of course, is that it's not only a whistleblower site, it's very obvious also an activist site.
Yeah, you brought this up, and I don't have an opinion what their role should be. But in the case of the Iraqi video of the incident of the civilians being shot by Apache helicopters, they edited that video. So apparently they feel their role is somewhat editorial to a certain extent.
And definitely. And they were anything but objective about the file itself. They didn't just put the material out there and said, like, okay, judge for yourself, this is it. And they had a very, very clear message that the war is killing people and that the things that were happening with that incident were plain wrong. They called it also collateral murder, and by selecting that name, you do give a very strong opinion.
Yeah, I never realized before that people got killed in a war. That was entirely news to me.
We tend to you can make a joke about it, but we tend to forget that the consequence is so fierce, you know?
You're right. I'm a bit cynical about that, but on the other hand, I admire the WikiLeaks guys immensely for doing what they do. I mean, I wouldn't dare to do that. And kind of the dirty tricks being played upon WikiLeaks, that was also in the news this week of Julian Assange being accused of being a rapist in Sweden, and all of a sudden this accusation got retracted. And now he's still.
And then he was, Then he wasn't, and now all of a sudden he's suspected of something which is still kind of fake.
Well, we don't know whether it is fake, but the accusation itself is still
fake. It's not fake, but vague. You know, it's a very strange accusation, and that happens to be in the country where the WikiLeaks servers are being placed. Given the amount of attention that WikiLeaks get. I would be very reluctant to draw any conclusion.
Oh, I find it utterly coincidental that this is all going on. And having met Julian Assange, I find it highly doubtful that he's able to beat up a girl. He's the kind of guy you sneeze about and he will fall over. So I find it highly unlikely that this accusation is truthful. But we really don't know.
No. I have really no opinion on that. I just noticed. And there's still the threat out there that there are 500,000 documents about the war in Afghanistan. Iraq. So the stakes are very high, you know, and we know that the Pentagon is more than upset about it.
Yeah, they actually had some press conferences on how irresponsible WikiLeaks is. And the videos of those press conferences are online and are kind of hilarious, by the way. It's really funny how the Pentagon kind of screwed this up in terms of PR. But I think it's time to get to some music again, unless you give me a very good reason not to have some music, Breno.
I wouldn't dare to.
Okay.
Thank you.
welcome back to Dub and W's Politics on Signal at hackerspaces.org. You were listening to King of East by Mufflin Dub Sound System from a promo then. We're getting back to the Netherlands for some news on this country. The Rododas Library is in the process of digitizing old newspapers. And by now they've hit the World War II era and we're about to publish newspapers from that time, including during the occupation where all Dutch newspapers were controlled by the Nazis and had quite a bit of stuff in there which probably wouldn't be able to publish it in Europe today. And the Dutch Ministry of Justice has threatened the Royal Library with prosecution because of hate speech, because they consider it a full new publication instead of just enlarging the access to already existing paper archives.
Benno,
may I ask you a personal question? You, as a Jew, how do you feel about this?
I think we should publish it. I don't think we should make too much of a fuss about it. It's part of our historic heritage. And it would be really a shame to keep this away from people. I mean, there are more newspapers than these newspapers out of that period in time. And it draws the complete picture of a war. And you can't just, you know, take all these newspapers out. That would really make the bigger picture incomplete.
And on top of that, those newspapers have been available for over 60 years. If you had taken have you had bothered to go to The Hague and visit the Royal Library to begin with?
Well, that's the whole point, you know. The Justice Department is making a very big fuss about the fact that now all of a sudden it's digital. These newspapers have been out there. Everybody could read them. It's not forbidden to read them. But now because they have been digitized and they're in another shape, all of a sudden the Dutch Justice Department starts to make it a whole new thing. Sometimes I think that the Dutch Justice Department, as soon as they hear the word interwebs, that they get nervous and they think that they should just forbid the whole lot. I just remember that it's less than a month ago that a Dutch reporter, for retweeting a death threat, had to show up at the police station because he refused to take the retweet offline.
Yeah, that's also interesting. But we got another member of an oppressed minority, at least oppressed by the Nazis in the studio, Koen. As a gay guy, how do you feel about this?
I think it's all summed up nicely. I mean, this stuff is available. I live next to the Royal Library, actually, National Library. This is part of history. Why would we want to rewrite or suppress history?
Well, I don't know. I've been called a proper Aryan guy by neo-Nazis who met were drunk at the metro station, so I really can't have an opinion on this, I'm afraid. So,
Can I twist the argument around? One of the very dangerous things that have been happening since the Second World War consistently is a lot of people that have been denying the Holocaust as a whole. Most recently, even a bishop that dared to doubt it. In Iran, they claim that basically it wasn't all that bad. Now, if you take all these newspapers away and thus the reporting of stuff away, then basically you give fertile soil to all these people that want basically to re-incite anti-Semitism. So, you know, it might be what the Justice Department may be doing here is potentially dangerous. They really, really should think very well.
I actually do not really disagree with either of you, but I do disagree with this argument because the details of the Holocaust were never published by the Nazis. There was lots of anti-Semite propaganda, which is actually often reused nowadays, sometimes in the Arab world. And you still have people like recently in the United States, someone had named his son Adolf Hitler, which I think is a kind of a sick joke to play on your children. There's still quite lots of people who, especially the Holocaust deniers, who are more interested in the Nazi propaganda, but which doesn't mention the Holocaust at all. So as I do agree, this information should be accessible, but not for fighting Holocaust deniers.
Well, it's still taking away, and it's also one of the signs of the whole system and the systematic that was brought upon us during the oppression. So, it's a relevant part, and if you take that away, then you really do give fertile soil also to the Holocaust deniers. You know, the less evidence you leave there, and I'm one of the people that also think that probably you should publish Mein Kampf, if not to you know take it out of the illegal world. It's because it's a stupid book and it's hardly possible to read. You know, let people see that.
So now I hate to bring this in, but I actually know a guy who works at the National Library. I talked with him a bit. This is not the only material that they archive. For example, they have some magazines from the 60s, 70s, and apparently in that time it was perfectly normal to depict young girls in erotic poses. Should we burn those as well? I mean, it does give you an
oh, well, actually, there's a different situation. The girls on those pictures are probably still alive, and for that reason alone, I would say I wouldn't mind that being kept behind an lock, just because the people involved are still alive, which in the case of the Nazi papers is not the case anymore at all.
I hope so. Yeah.
Well, hardly anyone involved in the likelihood of someone who had been photographed in erotic poses during the 60s as a teenager, of that person being alive is much higher than someone mentioned in a Nazi era newspaper.
Agreed. Yeah. But the main thing is, and that makes it so hypocritical, it was never an issue, and now all of a sudden, when it's called digital, all of a sudden everybody starts a huge debate. And I applaud the Dutch Royal Library for them saying, well, fuck it, we're going to put it online and we'll see what happens.
I'm actually surprised and I find it very courageous. I think it's time for some music again. We're going to have a rather long song called Dubliftment by Natty One from its album. Dubbing is, well, important. I can't read that from my playlist. Koen, put it on, please.
Nous élimine ou attendre calmement que Babylone nous extermine. situation est gravissime. Dans les peuples du monde, réclame tout ce changement de régime. Où est la peu de liberté avant que quelqu'un nous assassine? Où est l'appel est lancé? Generation, you should bid your sacrifice to your grid. We know in which way you proceed. Your Babylonian books we read. To miss the nation is your kryptonite. From history to succeed. In a ripping moon, you proceed. But you will battle in life, proceed. Innocent blood sends human deeds forever damned and unfulfilled. I'm just a someone who worries. In every monster, tongue is sick. I'm not concerned with our words, but as long as no one takes the lead.
I made a horrible mistake with the playlist. You were listening to the song Soul Roots by the Mr. Hayes Dub Project from the album Soul Roots. Breno, you had some ACTA news today.
Yeah, that was actually very funny. As one of the many people, I tried to obtain some documents on ACTA, and the Dutch government has been consistent in denying most of the requests, and then I filed an administrative appeal. And in their decision where they denied documents, they wrote that they weren't actually looking at the changes of to the Dutch law until there was a final version of the document. Well, they wrote to Parliament that they expected that none of the Dutch laws would have to be changed. And that's kind of strange, because on one side you say, like, hey, we didn't look at it. And to Parliament you say, like, well, we looked at it and it's no biggie, you know, nothing will change. And one of the politicians, she heard about it and she filed a whole bunch of questions to the minister. And one of the questions was very cool. Until this whole process is transparent, are you willing to ask the European Commission to stop negotiating on ACTA?
Yeah, which is a wonderful question, by the way. There was probably one of from the Green, I suppose?
Yes, it was the Green Party, Mariko Peters, and she asked in total a number of 16 questions, which is really a lot. And,
yeah, that's an awful lot. That's probably too much, actually.
Yes, well, you know, it ends up on the desk of the girlie who will probably fly to Japan next month to do another round of negotiations.
So she's probably busy enough already. It's a horrible job to have to answer questions from Parliament, I can tell you from experience myself.
And then, of course, the journalistic questions that I tend to ask and keep asking and keep asking and keep asking.
For those listeners who don't know what ACTA is, it's the anti-counterfeit trade agreement, but it has hardly anything to do with either counterfeit or trade. It's mostly about regulating copyright infringement on the internet. And, for example, now we're being told that there will be made no changes to Dutch law, or for that matter to other European Union member states' law. It contains the concept of punitive damages, which is entirely foreign to any continental European law system. So
of course
I find
it is
somewhat hard to reconcile with the texts that have been leaked in the past.
Of course it is. And if you read how they use the exact wording in Dutch, what they're saying is to their expectations, what they generally think, and you know, they're very, very cautious in promising that no laws have to be changed, and they keep forgetting about the ACTA Politburo that they want to introduce.
What do you mean by that, Breno?
Well, ACTA has a very, very strange provision. It has a provision that it arranges for some kind of agency that will see if people are correctly implementing ACTA in their law systems. and to make suggestions for changes, and even change the treaty on some minor details themselves. But they didn't define what a minor detail is.
Which is interesting, because you already have the WTO, the World Trade Organization, and we have WIPO, the WIPO, the World Intellectual Property Organization, which after about a decade of lobbying finally has become transparent to NGOs, civil society, and third world countries.
Yes, and then is the most amazing part, that it's about counterfeiting, and let's be realistic. It's all about piracy, which is not counterfeiting. Actually, you get the real product when you download illegally.
Without the adverts telling you not to copy it, which is nicer, actually. You get an improved product.
That's, and without digital restrictions management. So altogether, indeed, you do get a better product. But one of the funny things is that today a friend of mine got a letter from the lawyer of Nintendo asking him to stop modding hardware.
Nintendo actually is on a roll, because they just won two court cases in both UK and the Netherlands on modding mod chips.
Exactly. Yeah. And so apparently, and also if the Dutch law doesn't have to be changed, there is no ground to start an international treaty. You know, Europe is apparently good enough in fighting counterfeit. And if you don't add anything, I really wonder what the added value is besides more bureaucracy. Sorry for my Dutch stuttering.
Well, never mind. I've been drinking a bit to alleviate the stuttering part, which you can see in the webcam, which is overloaded. And by the way, for those looking at the webcam, in our hackerspace, our dress code is to wear a suit. And
oh, no one told me.
Yeah, but
I beg your pardon?
Yes. And now it's time for some music, I think. And
yes,
we finally get to Natty One with the song Dubliftment from the album Dubbing is a Must. It's an EP, actually.
Thank you. dial star 611 for assistance.
We get signal, main screen turn on. You're listening to the radio program about Hackers Places. This here little radio program about Hackers Places.
Okay, welcome to Dub and Dubious Politics at signal at hackerspace.org. I'm now the guy who's stuttering. Again, back to France. Well, actually, France, Israel, and Bulgaria. A French court has ordered ISPs to block access to a gambling site which is based in Gibraltar, which is actually the UK. So we're getting to a funny European Union. And similar stuff is going on in Israel, because gambling is legal over there as well. And they've been ordered to block gambling sites. And pressure for to do the same is mounting in Lithuania. And there's a Bulgarian law which mentions that that it should be possible to filter websites or organizers of games of chance. We have not obtained license here, and there is the actual text in there. And
Walter, what went wrong?
Well,
I thought child pornography was such a good reason to filter out websites.
Yeah, apparently.
Then we had copyright infringement, and now we need a new excuse to filter?
Well, actually, I think there's a perfectly good reason for that. Maybe it's my libertarian side. But having gambling sites outside your jurisdiction means that you as a government don't get a cut and never cross the tax man. That's the worst thing you can do. There are no levies to be gotten on child pornography.
Oh, of course, yeah. We totally are cool with having children being gangbanged and raped, but as soon as it's our tax money, how did I forget?
Well,
so stupid of me. And finally, we're getting our filters in Europe, you know. I was so worried that we wouldn't get any.
Yeah, it's actually a shame we didn't put this lovely video on our playlist about filter web. And to our listeners, and I'm very grateful to have listeners, actually, go to YouTube after this show, of course, and YouTube the video which is titled Filter Web. And it's Filter Web.
Isn't it Filter Net?
Okay, it's either Filter Net or Filter Web. it's probably Filter Net. But it's great. It's a hilarious video, and it should be broadcast on national TV in any European Union member state. Or probably in the Commonwealth in the United States, for that matter. It's a great video. But actually, yes, Brenno, you're right. It's getting scary. We're getting to a filtered internet, I'm afraid.
Whatever excuse they can find, they seem to use. And that is really scary indeed. But, you know, they don't even try to hide it no more. And I wonder... And I'm also reading the IRC channel. Is there anybody that uses one of those sites? I mean, Koen, do you?
Sorry, a gambling site?
He's asking whether you are a recovering gambling addict.
No, I'm not actually.
You're not recovered from your gambling addiction yet.
I've never had a gambling addiction.
That's a nasty question to
Walter,
ask.
Do you go to any of those sites?
No, actually, no. I've been to a casino once in my life, and it was such a bloody letdown. You have these lovely ads on Dutch television.
That's a physical casino.
Yeah, but a physical casino, it's awful. You have those lovely ads on television with glamorous people, gorgeous women going to a casino, and then you actually go to a casino.
I know. I love to go to Las Vegas, and I love to be in a casino, actually, and I love to gamble a little bit, to be honest.
Not for the titty shows?
But the point I'm trying to make here is that neither you, nor Koen, nor myself, nor Sietse, and nor Dr. Wax on the channel, none of them, and go to any of these websites.
We
don't know
such
how big
a representative sample of Dutch society.
I know, but the thing is that we have never been confronted with hard evidence that there is a huge issue is going on, but we don't mind tax money. So apparently, we have to introduce a filter for a problem where we don't know if it's really a problem.
I'm not sure whether it's a problem, but given that there's quite a bit of turnover going on internet gambling sites, actually, they were the first targets of distributed denial of service attacks by organized crime about 10 years ago. That's, they were being extorted by Eastern European mafia mobs. Apparently, there's so much money going on there that it's no surprise that they've drawn the interest.
Give me a number, and then still, aren't people allowed to be stupid?
Well, I'm afraid we're living in a nanny state anyway. And on that bombshell, we probably should get some music. Or Koen?
Yeah, maybe just a small note from the people listening to us on IRC. It's neither FilterNet nor FilterWeb. It's CleanTernet.
Okay. I can't read.
CleanTernet?
Yeah, CleanTernet. I can't read. I'm stupid. And now some music then. Okay, that was Netty One again with Endless Dub, which we are just ending prematurely because we do not have much time left. It was again from his Dubbing as a Must EP, and I was rather surprised actually when selecting some music for another aborted
the webcast of ours, or actually a streaming audio course. How much good quality adapter is available on Jamendo.com? This is an entirely different subject, by the way. So maybe we should go back to politics now. Benno, are there any other news items we should discuss before closing down the show?
Really quick, I just had a look at cleanternet.org. I thought it was brilliant, the movie, so I really can ask people to please have a look and point people to it. But going back to WikiLeaks for a second, yesterday a document was posted online that I found very intriguing. It was a document meant for discussion, and it was discussion what if other countries would find out that in the United States are terrorists that, because of all the freedom to travel, might make it abroad. Some other countries might to start ask questions like, okay, who is this guy and can you give some personal information? And all of a sudden, that would be a very scary and worrisome thing for the US. So it's totally okay that the privacy and the personal data of the privacy is violated of Europeans and our personal data moves across the pond. But at the time that we are under threat, we can't ask the US for data. And that was a very interesting thing. It reminded me of a German word by Nietzsche that was something like Übermensch. And that was the word that I had in mind for that. So it was kind of, thank you, WikiLeaks, for pointing this out.
So a final word for this show is Übermensch by our resident Jew. You're now listening to pieces from their album Pieces, and the song Crep School by Lona, and goodbye and good night.
Good night.
Listen into the radio program about hackers, places.